That's where we're going to share from today. I haven't got anything to put up on the board, just looking straight at some verses from Scripture today. Let's just pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. We want to thank you for the wisdom of how you care for us and how you lead us and how you bless us. And the heart you have for us, that we would not just be children, but we would grow to be mature in the kingdom and a blessing not only in our own lives but to those we live with. And we just pray today that as we share together from your word, that you will just grow us some more inside, so that, Lord, we will be equipped for those issues of life, but also, Lord, that we will be able to see fruit in the kingdom and many more people come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. We just ask for your blessing on us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 27 is a fantastic psalm. If you don't know it, let me read it to you. And if you can read along with me, I'm reading from the New International Version. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. God will bless, as he always does, his word as it goes out, and may he bless it to our hearts today. If I was to title what I'm going to share today, it would be the title of Eye Contact. Most of you probably remember this scenario from your childhood days, and if you're a parent, it's probably happened recently, that when you're talking to your children about something that matters, something you want to make sure they hear and heed, you say to them, look at me while I'm talking to you. Look at me while I'm talking to you. And I'm not saying anything about our grandchildren, but I've seen it in just about all children, that when they're engaged in their phones, they're engaged in their games, so often, you know, you're talking to them and it's sort of like going straight over the top. Look at me when I'm talking to you. You say that because as a parent, You know when your child is looking at you, there's a better chance that he or she will engage with you in what you're saying. And so you say that not only when you're telling them off, but you also say it when there's something really good coming on. Do you realise I'm going to give you this? Yes, Mum. Yes, Mum. Yes, Dad. Look at me. Hear me. That's because face-to-face contact, eye-to-eye contact, is an essential part of communication. In fact, studies show that babies thrive when they receive lots of eye contact. And babies who don't receive that eye contact, they don't connect with their carers, often don't develop properly, and often later in life have issues of emotion and of low self-esteem and so on. Almost, it's like that locking of eyes together somehow or other cements the confidence of knowing I'm cared for. You also see that when two people are in love, don't you? What do? They look at each other longingly. Sometimes they just gaze into each other's eyes and they don't see anything going on around them. As they say, love is blind. It's normally because they're looking at each other. And it was interesting. I was reading the story about Billy and Ruth Graham, who were married for 63 years. And until her death in 2007, they had a tremendous partnership. But in the last years of Ruth Graham's life, when she had become too frail and too weak even for much conversation, Billy Graham would say, "Ruth and I still have a love affair with our eyes." What a lovely description. When we're struggling as a child, what is it we look for? We look for the face of our parents. When we get hurt, we run to our parents. That sense of they see us, they see what's going on in our lives, somehow or other reassures us as children. The flip side of that, of course, is that a few years ago, a woman who was going through a divorce told me, "I knew there was a problem when I realised that my husband no longer looked at me." You know, communication is summed up in sometimes how we see each other. So that's how important eye contact is. And there is a sense that, if you like, God would say today, "Look at me while I'm talking to you. Look at me when you're in need. Look at me when life is going on and you want to see clues as to what you should do. Look at me." And that's why in this verse 8 of this psalm, the psalmist says this, "My heart says of you, seek his face." And the reply is, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." And it's interesting, if you want to do a study on it through Scripture, the number of times that Scripture talks about us seeking God's face. Just like a child seeks the face of their parents. Sometimes we look at the children look at their parents to sort of check out whether what they're doing is okay or not, you know. Have you ever seen it? You know, fiddling away. Am I okay? our little Max came to, that's Rachel's, our grandson Max is Rachel's son. And he came to see us. And you can tell when he's up to something odd because it all goes quiet. And then he peers around the corner and says, "All right?" You can see that he's checking out. Am I okay doing this? And 9 times out of 10, he's not okay. But there's that sense of he's checking things out. Actually, he's learning as he goes along, and we should be like that with God. Tremendous verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well." And sometimes as we live our lives, we're into the things, we're into the circumstances, we're into the unravelling the problems, we're into the building the plans for the future, we're into all the stuff of life, all the demands of life. And I believe God says to us, actually, like Jesus said there, seek first the kingdom of God. Actually, there's a first step that every one of us needs to have. And that is firstly to make sure we are connected with God like a child is connected with their parents. That's why it's so important when you look at the end of time, when Jesus, if you like, there's that that judgment of what goes on as to whether people are going to be heaven bound or hell bound. What does he say? He says to those who are hell bound, he says, I never knew you. Somehow or other, that connection has never been made. And I believe us seeking God's face, according to Scripture, is part of that process. And God responds. I don't know whether you, for those who've been parents or maybe who've been alongside your children, you just know that actually when your children connect with you, look to you for what they want, it brings a response in here. And I love the fact that Jesus describes God as our Heavenly Father. Because actually, when we were made in His image, we were also made with those same responses that God has in here. And as we look at Him, and as we look to Him as Father, and as we look to Him as Provider, as we look to Him as someone that we know loves us and we love Him, somehow or other it prompts in His heart that response to be everything that is needed for our lives. So what does it really mean to really seek God and His face in our lives? There's a lovely verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to that. 1 Corinthians 13, and I think it's verse 12. And it describes, if you like, sums up what it's likely to be in the future, that pure depth of relationship. It says this, I'll read from verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. There's one thing about that connection of looking at one another with real intensity and communicating almost without words. That is a picture of that knowing one another. Can you imagine that? That we have such a relationship with God. Well, He does know us anyway. But that we know Him in that full way too. Most often people are driven to seek God because of a need in their lives, don't we? Sometimes it's a void. I've known many people who have achieved tremendous success, vast riches, and I do know a few of those, yet they themselves find themselves empty in here. And you often look at the biographies of people who've got everything, seemingly. And what you very often find is right there in the heart. If they haven't got a relationship with God, there's an emptiness that somehow they can never fulfill. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells of a similar journey that he made. Do you know Solomon was one who went to the pinnacle of success? He went to the pinnacle of materialism. He went to the pinnacle of power. He went to the pinnacle, actually, of being able to pursue pleasure. I won't go into the depths of it, but when you realise Solomon's life was like that, he hit at the tops in everything. He was like our billionaires in our world today. Got everything. And then at the end, as he writes that book of Ecclesiastes, his conclusion is this. There has to be more to life than this. Success, materialism, power, pleasure. It doesn't fulfill what we need ultimately in here. And that's why if you talk to a child, they can have some children in some families have got all their possessions. They've got millions of toys, it seems. They've got the money thrown at them. But if they don't have that love relationship, actually it's all worthless. God wants that sort of depth of relationship with us that actually means that we can have nothing, and yet we've got everything. We can have everything and actually have everything because we've got God's love as well. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I'm content, and whether I've got lots or whether I've got nothing. And the reason he was content was because he had that love relationship with God. He could always look to heaven and know that he had a heavenly Father who was watching over him. Some people, I say, are driven because they've got a need or a void in their lives. It can be a struggle and trial. Others, it can be crisis. You know, they find themselves on a brink or even over the edge of disaster. And it's interesting, if you look in 2 Chronicles, where King Jehoshaphat was busy minding his own business, there's an example there of actually where it says he sought God's face. He was striving to lead the nation of Israel with integrity, and suddenly he got the news, guess what? There's 3 armies just coming your way to attack your Israel, and they want to kick you out of king. They want to bring their own power to control Israel. And Jehoshaphat, in his joy, was saying, oh my, what do I do now? And we read in 2 Chronicles, verse 20, verse 3, it says this: Then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face to seek the Lord. He was good already, but actually he made his heart determined, I'm going to seek the Lord. And can I say this, if you're facing trial and struggle, can I tell you, money, man's help, everything will be nothing compared with you being able to look into the face of God and realize that the Creator of the universe is caring for you. Scripture says all things work together for good for those who love God. It's like the face of a father looking, who has everything, looking longingly on his child and saying, don't worry, in any situation I've got it in my hands and you can trust me. And if you see that in the face of the Father in the midst of your circumstances, believe me, you can weather the worst of storms, because that look of love and that look of care is worth more than anything anyone can give you. But you know, us looking to God, we think, well, can we do that? Well, we need to remember what the book of Hebrews says. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, God rewards those who earnestly seek him. So actually, it doesn't only cement the relationship between us and God when we look to him and seek his face. Actually, it does something more. It prompts him to pour out a blessing into our lives. I was listening to a friend of mine, a speaker, talking about grace. And do you know that the word grace, which we so often talk about, can be rightly interpreted as divine favour? That means that, if you like, we're like a member of our nation who, if anything is needed, we can just look to the king and say, will you sort it out for me? That's how we are with God. We are under divine favour because of his love for us. And as far back as the book of Deuteronomy, we know, you probably know the verse in Jeremiah 29 where it says, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. But do you know, in Deuteronomy, God said it to his people as well. He said, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. Can you imagine today finding God in your living room? I mean, standing there. Imagine if, as you were in your living room at home, Jesus came and stood alongside you. That's the sort of finding
that God's talking about. Because he wants us to find that depth of relationship with him. And the scriptures tell us it comes when we start to seek him ourselves. There's a lovely verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I believe that God has used so many times, and it says this: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Do you realize that the rewards that God is talking about, just in us choosing to look at him and seek him with our hearts, is the fact that he wants to bless the whole of our lives? It's not just a bar of chocolate. It's about healing. And I don't know about you, but as I look around our world around us, I think, God, it needs your healing. It's a wonderful place, but it's still only a patch on what it is meant to be. Our relationships amongst our communities is wonderful, but it's still only a patch on what it's supposed to be. Do you know what heaven is supposed to be like? It's supposed to be the place where as you walk down the road, it is such a blessing. You just cannot hide your praise. You just effervesce. I don't know whether you've been in that situation where something's so beautiful, you think, oh God, can I keep this in? No, I can't. Thank you, God, for all that's going on. Do you know, that's what our world is supposed to be like. So much that we are filled with such an effervescence of praise that we just want to say, thank you, God, every minute of our lives. That's what our world's supposed to be like. It is just a patch on what it's supposed to be. And the Lord wants to do that. He wants to heal our land. And he promises that as we seek him, that will be one of the blessings he brings. 1 Chronicles 16:11. The instruction there says this: "Seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his presence continually." Seeking God is about acknowledging and wanting his presence. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." Why did he say that? Because he wanted his disciples to know that they weren't supposed to walk on their own. They were supposed to walk every step of the way in the presence of their Saviour. Seeking his face is actually saying, actually, I'm going to walk down this road, or I'm going to go into these circumstances, and I'm deliberately going to bring Jesus with me. I'm going to deliberately bring the Holy Spirit with me. I'm going to deliberately believe that as I stand in that circumstance, God is with me. Can you do that? It changes everything. Like a child who would be uncertain without their parent. Have you ever been in that situation? I have, where you take your child to school for the first event, first day, and what's their reaction going to this strange school? Their first reaction is to cling to their parents. Why? Because they need us. God knows that we need him with us. In every circumstance, we need that reassurance of knowing his smile in our even our tough circumstances. God says, seek me, have me with you, walk with me. With his presence, that is what we do to seek his face. I remember Nicky Gumbel telling the story in the Alpha Course. Talking of himself, he said, "I'm a clergyman in the Church of England. And I love the Church of England. I love the Anglican Church. But while the worldwide church has been growing rapidly, the Church of England and Wales and Scotland has been in steady decline." He said, "We've been losing so many people that some people have speculated that maybe even God has left the Church of England." Which actually prompted, if you've ever read Private Eye, which is a satirical writing, it prompted an article in Private Eye which he quoted, and it was headed this: "God to leave the Church of England." And what it said was this: "Following the example set by a leading former Anglicans, God has indicated that he too is to leave the Church of England. Friends of God believe the issue of women priests and sexuality have been behind the Almighty's sudden decision to convert to Rome. According to sources close to God, He's been unhappy for some time with the direction the Anglican Church has been taking, and has now finally had enough. A Church of England spokesman said, "Losing God is a bit of a blow, but it's just something we're going to have to learn to live with." But actually, I mean, that's just sort of, it's an exaggeration, but the fact is that we can be like that, can't we? Not just churches, but we can be like that. We can get on with life and it's like God has never been with us. And yet, that's not how we're supposed to live.
Seek His face. We can seek His face, and I'll just pick one or two things out here, by clinging and cleaving every day. I don't know whether you know that in Genesis, where it talks about a man cleaving to his wife, the word there actually is the same basis as the word glue. Do you know what will help you seek God's face? Is if in here, in your heart, in your will, you make a choice to be glued to God. He'd love that. He'd absolutely love that. There's a story of a man who went to his doctor and said to his doctor, "My wife doesn't love me anymore. What should I do?" And the doctor said, "I prescribe a hug and a kiss 4 times a day, every day of every week for a month." The man said, "Okay, if you say so. What time shall I bring her to see you?" Hadn't got the point, had he? What cements the love between the husband and wife is their love for one another. What cements the relationship between you and God is not about church on Sundays, but about your love relationship with God. And one of the truths of marriage counselling is very often with marriages, husbands and wives forget to invest the time in letting their partner know they love them. Spending the time to say, "I love you. I'm going to spend special time with you. I'm going to be glued to you. You are worth more important to me than anything else." And that's how we can build our life with God, by making that choice. Psalm 63 verse 8 says, "My soul clings to you." We can do that. We can also learn praise and appreciation. David said in Psalm 100, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." The same applies in marriages as it does in our relationship with God. We need to invest time in expressing our appreciation of one another. And we need to do that with God. And when we're dealing with all the circumstances and the needs of life, when we're just dealing with issues but not seeking God's face, very often that's when we forget to tell Him of our love for Him, so that He can tell us of His love for us. Praise and appreciation. Clinging to God, praise and appreciation. We can choose to invest in that. And thirdly, the witness of His word, which Alfred touched on last Sunday, which was, if you remember, in Acts chapter 4, as they came to pray about the circumstances they were facing, the first thing they did was to remind themselves all that God had done. They built their faith through reminding themselves what God had done. And in fact, actually, if you look through Scripture all the way through, that's what God says: "Remember what I've done for you. Remember how I've been good in those circumstances." And in our lives, as we face circumstances, we need to remind ourselves of what God has done. The person who cares for us from heaven is not someone who is waving a cane to spank you every time you've done something wrong. He's the Heavenly Father who wants you to grow into the most amazing person that He's made you. And the witness of the word reminds us continually of what God is about and what He's done. No wonder He wants us to get and hear His word. And then fourthly, focus. Have you ever asked yourselves, why is the communion table so simple? The reason is,
because he doesn't actually want it to be about silver chalices. He doesn't want it to be about great meals that fill the stomach but don't touch the heart. It's simple, because in this meal, God wants you to see his face. Because the bread, so simple as it is, speaks about his brokenness for you. It's not about the food. It's about the face behind it. And the wine. It's not about something grand and fermented that you go, oh, isn't that delicious? It's not about the senses of the tongue. It's about blood poured out that speaks of a God who holds nothing back, who gives not sacrifices from other sources, but himself. He died for us himself, that we can see his face in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. And as we come to this table in a moment, I believe the scripture that says, be still and know, really applies here. Because we need to know, God is not some mighty being on a throne who doesn't care. But he cares more than I believe anyone in the world will ever know, until they see him face to face. And I love what that scripture we read earlier on, just as we close. One day we shall see him face to face. At the moment we see him dimly, if you like, in these symbols on the table. But you know, one day we're going to see him clearly. And it says we're going to be bowled over by it. I would encourage you today to do what God encourages every one of us to do. For a few moments of time, just put aside all the stuff, all the trials, all the concerns, and just remind ourselves of the face of God in these symbols here. Was there anything he held back in his death for us? Did his love show any chinks of failure? The answer is no to both. He loved us so much, he gave everything. The Son, his own life. The Father, his only begotten Son. In his love, was there a chink in his armour? He even prayed for the men who were killing him on the cross. And in the face of such love, and in the face of such a God who loves us, is anything a problem? The Almighty God, he loves us. Let's receive, and I'll ask one or two of the leaders if they would just come up and join me at the table now. Let's receive from him, and let's look into that face of Christ, that face of the Father, and say, why should I be afraid when I have such a love and such a powerful, almighty God behind me? Let's come. Heavenly Father, as we come to this communion table, may we see your face. May we know your heart. May we be blessed. And may you be blessed too, as you see us grow in our love for you. We are said in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, Ruth. Okay. Brilliant. Lovely. the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also now pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks. And said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." As we receive the bread, let's see the face of love behind it as he shares his body with us, his love. Thank you, Lord. Have we seen his face in the broken bread? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." That cup could have just contained the wine, but God himself chose that that cup should be the symbol of his blood. So there need be no more sacrifices for sin. That his blood, once sprinkled on our lives, would mean that our sin is washed away forever. Thank you, God. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And so as we receive each individually the cup, I'll ask you if you would to hold, and we'll drink together as we celebrate that together we are a people all blessed in that same way by what God has done for us. Thank you. This cup represents the blood of Christ poured out for the remission of sins. Let us all drink and give thanks to God for his grace to each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we see your face of love in these symbols today. Lord, we look forward to that day when we will see you clearly. We will see not just the symbols, not just the fleeting glimpses, but we will be in your presence, and your glory will just shine so brightly round about us that, Lord, it will be the most beautiful place and the most beautiful day as we live in the house of the Lord. We do pray for today that we may see you when we're troubled. Lord, we may see you when we're perplexed. We may see you when we cry out for you. Lord, may our love relationship, us with you, grow. And we just pray this week that as we choose in our hearts to seek your face, to take you with us into every situation, Lord, we just pray that every one of us will have that knowing of your presence. We pray that the witness of the Spirit within us will just witness to our hearts and encourage us more and more to take you with us into every situation. And Lord, for those we meet who also will struggle, we just pray, Lord, that you will give us those words of eternal life, bringing eternal life to those who are struggling. And we pray, Lord, that your kingdom may come and your will may be done through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.